McCanna, guitar virtuoso, has gone from local slack key prodigy to international ambassador, taking his stylings through Europe over the summer with festival gigs in Paris and The Hague. His tour has broadened the audience for Kihualo, but has also expanded his own musical reach as he continues to interact with a variety of musicians and instrumental lineups. It's a process of continued growth, and he's on hand this morning. Tell us more about it. Good morning, McCanna.
Aloha, Chris.
You know, when I hear about a tour like your summer tour, part of me thinks about what you're getting back out of it.
Oh, yes. I think about that a lot, too.
I imagine.
It's really recontextualizes my relationship to the art form. Back in 2002, when I first went to Paris, it was where I conceived my second record, Koyao. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about it is on the cover is an Utagawa Kuniyoshi woodblock print from the 1800s. And just the other day at the Slack Key Festival, someone says, oh, but it's Japanese music? I said, no. This I conceived in Paris. And I had an epiphany that I wanted to do a truly contemporary Hawaiian music album. And if you look at the demographic of Hawaii today, it's largely Asian. So it's recontextualizing the slack key music, and going to a place like that really gives me a different perspective of our art.
I think it's important with anything like slack key or any art form to keep it alive that way.
Yeah, I was having a conversation this morning about tradition, and it's easy to look at tradition as an archaic relic, almost like a museum piece, and we must be very careful, don't, you know,
don't,
it's
got
to be hallowed this way. Yeah, but if you look back to the facts, those that we consider traditional, like in this art form of Kihoalu, Hawaiian slack key guitar, Gabby Pahinui, Sonny Chillingworth, mm-hmm. Leonard Kwan, Ledward Ka'apana and his kumu, Uncle Fred Punahoa, Raymond Kane,
the masters.
The Beamers. These people in their time were innovators. These people in their time did things that the kupuna at that time went, whoa. I remember Gabby, one of Gabby's most famous songs, uses a lick from Three Dog Night. And it's a Hawaiian song. We say that's traditional Hawaiian music. So tradition is a living entity.
And as it should be, because when you get to curatorial, when you start putting things in a museum, it's like you're putting on the brakes. I run into this with blues guitar. Well, that's the way Blind Willie Johnson did it in 1931. Well, yeah, okay. But he was busting boundaries back then. He would expect you to do the same.
Yeah, I think music needs to have two elements. You know, it's like it has to honor some sort of structure and form in terms of coming from the understanding of the instrument. You know, I'm paraphrasing something I thought of the other day that's totally relevant to this. It was mm-hmm. like, you know, a musician needs to do two things. First needs to build a city, kind of like Paris, this grand thing. And that takes eons of training and, you know, to build the architecture of being able to play. But then you have to carve your eyeballs out and walk through your own city blind. That's the process of music. You know, you need to first... it's not, I wouldn't say master, but you need to first really, really learn it. And you learn it from those who came before you. And once you do that, you have to just lose yourself in that.
Yeah, there's a learning followed by a lot of forgetting.
Yes.
Sort of a kind of willful forgetting.
Yes.
Where you're not bound by what you've learned. You're using what you've learned. And there's a big difference.
There is. And, you know, with something like slack key guitar, I mean, there's so much subtlety. And the reason is because the player is playing in what we call a slack key guitar tuning, like an open tuning.
Right.
So by nature, and, you know, like Gabby had over 100 of these, every time you change a tuning, you can't use your same muscle memory. So you're relearning, you become almost like a beginner again. But then what happens is you're doing the bass, rhythm, and melody. So when you hear slack key from one player, you're hearing so much of their personality because they are essentially the whole orchestra. So as you go through the different players and the different lineages from the different ohana, you start to hear these subtle differences. And that's, to me, the beauty of this art form. So much of the player's spirit goes into it.
And jealously hoarded back in the day. You'd hear stories of, oh, my uncle played in this tuning, but he would turn his back when he was tuning it so that he couldn't figure it out.
Even for the kids, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It was very private. Well, so much of the culture had been taken away.
Yeah.
So you know, thankfully with recorded medium, Gabby and Leonard Kwan started to put this music out. It became available. Yeah. And thanks to, you know, the work of a lot of the people today from Uncle Led and Milton Lau with the Slack Key Festivals and George Winston, you know, bringing the awareness to this art form that really has been called a dying art form for the past 50 years.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear you mentioned Leonard Kwan because I think he was a fantastic and very important artist. He was not cited often enough when you hear about Kihualo.
Really beautiful. And I got to meet Leonard at City Hall at the wake of Uncle Sonny. I'll never forget it. And what a humble, beautiful man.
Well, let's find some time to hear from you while you've got your guitar in hand.
And sure.
Tell me what you're going to play.
I was going to play a song by Andy Iona. And this comes from the era of like the 1920s, 1930s, when swing jazz from Hawaii, with kind of the Hapa-Haole era, was just taking the world by storm.
Yeah.
And so this is a piece called How Do You Do?
Some very jazzy chords in there.
Yeah, Gabby and Anta recorded that back in the day. And it's a song that always appealed to me because it's not in the usual mode of the slack key.
But you can really hear the a kind of a swing and a jazz influence in there.
Yeah, How Do You Do? Yeah, it was a classic era. The funny thing about Hawaiian music that blows my mind is it's been responsible for so much of the changes in music in general in the world. A couple little-known facts. Back in 1916 through the early 20s, Hawaiian music was the biggest-selling genre of music in the world. And when the Great Depression happened, it was the sales of Sweet Leilani by Bing Crosby that boosted record sales again and jump-started the industry. And, of course, the steel guitar was invented here. So there's a lot of things that happened in Hawaii that went on to affect music worldwide.
Yeah, we tend to think of the things from outside that influenced here, but there's way more here influencing the outside world than most people know about.
Totally, totally.
Well, good luck with your continued musical journey. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you so much.
Happy
to be here.
Makana will give his final summer performance at the Kahala Hotel and Resort's Maile Ballroom Sunday evening. And you can find out more about that one at hpr2.org.